This is Saturday Java with Jason, where great coffee meets great guests and great conversation. This week we have Lou Jacobs. He is a member of the OWF, which is Outcast Wrestling Federation in Massachusetts. He is the champ, and he can do both. He can do the heel, which is a bad guy, or the baby face, which is a good guy for those that don't know. I'm going to turn the time over to Lou right now, and he's going to give you more of a description of what he is, what he does, and just who he is.
All right. So I started my wrestling career in 1999. I found a wrestling school in Oceanside, California, where I started training. I trained under a guy named Charles Gibbs, a guy named Brandon. He went as Matrix. And then for those of you who are familiar with CZW, B-Boy, who ended up being one of my biggest mentors. So I did that for a little while. And then I ended up in LA with a company called Revolution Pro, where Super Dragon was at, Scorpio Sky, Excalibur, all those guys came from there. Most of the PWG guys and group came from there. And that's who I came up with when I started. Then I ended up getting signed with a company called Extreme Pro Wrestling. I'm sure everybody knows XPW. They've seen the Dark Side of the Ring stuff. And actually, I was there in attendance. I wrestled that show that Vic Grimes fell off the scaffolding.
Yeah, talk about falling. That's one thing I want to get into right now, is because you see a lot of the backyard wrestling where they jump off roofs, stuff like that. I want to get out there right now and say that's not what you guys do. You guys do not do the backyard. You guys are actually in a ring, which is an official wrestling ring. So I don't want people out there thinking right now, because this is going to be on the air with just audio. This guy that we're talking to right now, Lou, he is trained in a ring, which is like WWE wrestlers. We're not talking backyard wrestling right now.
No, and I actually trained for about a year before I had my first match.
And can you tell people, when you guys fall, people think that wrestling is that F word, fake. It is scripted. But when you guys actually fall and actually take bumps and stuff like that, it does hurt. It's not feeling like you're falling on a mattress. It does take a toll on your body.
Oh, yeah. And I've been doing it for 23 years now, and my back is... You can ask when I get up in the morning. I'm rather slow sometimes when I get up.
I mean, there's people that I know, because I go to PAPW, which I interviewed Skyler, who is from that. And there's a few other wrestlers there that I talk to. And one of them is an older gentleman. I'm not going to drop his name here. But he said, I'm pushing 50. I feel like I'm 90. And that's what it does to you. You're cutting out.
I said, that sounds like a Bull Dredd comment.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But, yeah. I don't want to drop names, but if you're going to drop a name, yes. But thing is, Oh, yeah. He is one of the nicest people that I know. And I'm not just saying that because he hears this, but he is a really down-to-earth guy. He's a wrestler. But if you ever get to meet him, he's the kindest, nicest person you can meet.
He is a giant teddy bear backstage.
In the ring, how do you?
But outside of the ring, he is the nicest, like, biggest teddy bear you'd ever meet.
Now, how do you guys do that? Because you guys go out and perform, and you guys act or stage up, if I should say that, like a heel baby face. But how do you guys turn it on and off so easily in the ring where you guys are laughing, joking behind? You go out to the ring, you guys are total enemies in that ring, and then you go backstage, you guys are friends and family back there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that's why pro wrestlers are so easy to transition into acting, because we are able to do that. Not everybody, because you can kind of see it when you have the not so good actors out there trying to do some work. But a lot of us, it just It takes work. It's part of the stuff we train to do. When we go in, we train and we're taking bumps and we're learning all that. We're also learning how to make facial expressions. We're learning how to look like it hurts. And you take that, and it's just a lot of practice.
Right. Some people can go out there and throw down a match with, one of my, I guess you want to say, professionals that are just iconic is Mark Caraway, which is The Undertaker. He can go out and throw down a match without even practicing. He just goes out and he is so good at it that he doesn't even need to practice a match. But you have these other pro wrestlers who have to go out there and every match is choreographed. So there's a difference in style where people can go out and just wrestle without a choreographed match. And there's other people that need it choreographed. Well, no matter what, you're still putting torture on your body from taking those bumps, from flying around, running. It's not an easy job for you guys.
Yeah, no, not by any. Your body's got to be in shape. You've got to have the cardio. Because, 10 minutes in a wrestling ring, you wouldn't believe what kind of cardio that takes. It's the most cardio driven I've probably ever done. And I was a basketball player in high school, things like that. But wrestling.
Right. And that's one of the things. I don't remember who it was, but they were wrestling in school. And he was getting mad because they weren't doing the cardio. They're getting out of breath. And the whole point is you guys are running 10, 15 minutes in a ring, jumping, climbing, punching, everything. And you guys at the end of the match are not even winded. That's what gets me. I couldn't even go 5 minutes. And I'll be like, all right, time's out.
If that bell rings, there's no stop. There's no cut. It's go, go, go. And the second you're overtired or you're too winded is the point in which mistakes happen and people get hurt.
Now, when you go out there to the ring and your music plays, what goes through your mind? Your adrenaline must be, even though it is all like acting, like you say, I don't even want to say acting because you're going out there putting a show on. Yeah, you're acting, but you're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
The
physical aspect's still 100% there. And when that music hits, though, one, I start feeling the music. I love to have a song that I go out to. It's got to be something that I can move to and kind of tap my feet to or something. And I just kind of close my eyes for a minute. I get into that zone. And the second I hit that curtain, I'm that other person.
Let's talk about the other person. Because right now you're Lou. When you become the other person, it must be, I guess you call it a split personality, where that person doesn't exist until that music plays.
Kind of. A lot of the greatest gimmicks, though, they'll tell you, is yourself bumped up to like 11. So I just take my own personality, and especially with the character I am now, or what I'm doing now, and I take my personality that's already there, and I kind of up a little bit.
So who is, if you can wrestle anybody past, present, or WWE, WCW, who would be your ultimate match? Who would you like to go against?
If I could, like in my prime, Ultimo Dragon. 100%. Either Ultimo Dragon or the Great Sasuke. Those two are my absolute favorite.
Now I got to ask you why. I want to put you on the spot.
Just where I came from, where I trained, we did a lot of studying Japanese tapes and stuff like that. And where I was with Revolution Pro, we did everything. We did Lucha, we did Japanese, we did American. Super Dragon was going back and forth from Japan, and he'd teach us stuff. So, there was a lot of that combination stuff going on. And back then, the Super J Cups were really, really popular. And it was during tape training, so you had to get what you could through tape training. It wasn't like now where you could just pop up on the internet. But I studied and watched a lot of New Japan, stuff like that. And I just, everything about Great Sasuke and Dragon has just been my favorite.
And those are different styles, because if you watch a Mexican, or if you watch the Japanese, you watch American, you watch any of those, their styles are totally different. And it's kind of amazing where you can put like a Japanese wrestler and a Mexican wrestler in a match, and they complement each other.
Yeah, because I mean, we all learn the basics, and the basics are all there, because I've trained Lucha, I've trained Japanese, I've trained American, and your basics are all there. There's a little bit difference in styles, like you got more of your strong style from Japan, and you got more of your flashy high fly stuff in Mexico, but you still got to learn how to base for that stuff. You still got to learn how to take it. You still got to learn how to give it. And so those styles get together and they're able to really meld together. It makes something magic.
Now, I got to ask you this. When you go into a match, say you're going in with somebody who has been around longer, do they make the calls really, or do you guys take turns? Who decides the match during the match?
So your veteran will a lot of times take the lead, but your good veteran will also take input from who you're working with and kind of combine the two. During the match, whoever your veteran is, who's been doing it longer, or whoever's been on the higher levels, they're usually the ones that take control in the ring.
And we're talking, what people don't realize is we're not trying to give away secrets, but you can kind of tell that they're whispering to each other or stuff like that. But the thing is they don't try to hurt you, because they know as well as they have to return next week. You don't want to hurt your opponent.
Yeah. And I mean, you have those guys that are just assholes and they'll take liberties on people and stuff. And some people just get egos and they'll take liberties, but they get receipts right back and they kind of calm that down.
I believe it was Nash. I believe it was Kevin Nash. I believe it was. And he was going against DDP.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, how are you going to end it? And he said, well, I'm taking the diamond cutter tonight. In other words, he was giving the underdog the opportunity to advance. And that, to me, when you have somebody that's been in it longer and they realize as an up-and-coming star, how a lot of the people would give the opportunity to that younger guy because they see the star is there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to come back around. If you're good enough and you put in the work enough, and especially somebody like Nash, I mean, that title is going to come back around to him anyway.
I mean, it was just, he's been around for so long, and I don't remember if it was him. I hope people don't quote me saying it was the wrong wrestler. But if you have somebody like a Kevin Nash who's been around for so long, and he could have that stigma where, look, I've been around for so long, I'm not going to give the opportunity to somebody who never had it. But he does that. He bends over backwards for you.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the way to be, honestly. It's going to, because a lot of the guys, you don't know where they're going to go. A lot of these young guys, like, I've wrestled with Flash Waller and Kylon King, and I put those guys over before, and gladly, because those guys are talents that, I mean, look where they are now. They're reaching the stars, and they're just going to get further. I feel like there's no ceiling for guys like that. And being one of the first ones to put guys like that over, I'm so more proud of those guys than you can imagine.
And you have people out there. I got to give props to Mario Mancini, who is in charge of the PAPW, along with Paul Romo. All those guys there have been around. They know their stuff.
And oh, yeah. Yet,
those two, Mario and Paul, they are so well adverse in business, but they're very people-oriented. And that's what I love about those two people.
Yeah, and if you're not picking their brain as wrestlers and you have the opportunity to be in their presence, if you're not picking their brain, you're absolutely doing the wrong thing, because you can learn so much off of those guys just off the history alone.
I mean, I don't remember Mario wrestling, but I can go on YouTube and watch him. He was so good. What was that?
He was The Undertaker's first match in WWF.
Yep. And he also fought, it's actually on YouTube, he was actually going against Million Dollar Man, stuff like that, and he made them look so good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was smooth as hell.
Yeah. I love Mario. Mario's great.
He's a very nice guy. I've talked to him several times now. But the problem is nowadays, people don't, if you don't give them 5 seconds of your time and listen to what they're saying, especially you as a performer, if they said to you, hey, try this instead, I think it would be kind of stupid for a performer not to listen to them because they've been around for so long and just the ideas they have.
Yeah, and what does it hurt that you try it and see what happens? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You go back to doing your own thing. If it does work and it works well, then you just took something off of somebody who's been doing it for how many years on such a high level?
I mean, yes, Mario Mancino was a jobber, but he can tell you the stories, and he's been there. He's done it. And that's the thing. You got to listen to people like that because they've been around, and they've done it.
And jobber or not, he made it. He was in the WWF. He was there. He was there for pay-per-views. He was there for some of those big moments. He was right there front and center. So, I mean, jobber or not, I don't think that really matters. I mean, he made it. He was there. He can now go, hey, I'm a WWF alumni.
And that's like somebody in NASCAR racing against Dale Earnhardt. Okay, you came in last place, but you freaking raced Dale Earnhardt. How many people actually could say that?
Yeah, you came in last place at a professional level of NASCAR.
So now you're a champ right now. As the champ, I'm not sure what your plans are now, but I bet you as motivation, I bet you probably would lay that belt down for an underdog just to give them the opportunity and see what it feels like.
If I had to, yeah. I mean, I wrestled, I gave Jermaine Marbury that chance. I set him up because that's how I took the title. Jermaine had an unfair thing happen to him by Steven Garcia, and Steven Garcia was bullying and picking on him in the ring. And so I came out and I challenged Steven. I was like, all right, you want to do this? You want to go? You want to try and play with some of the new guys? Why don't you play with me? And then it didn't work out too well for him. But in the aftermath of that, I gave Jermaine a fair chance. I gave him the chance that he should have had.
And he's an awesome guy, too. I mean, he's very athletic. He's very fast. Just the stuff that he comes up with, too. Even like one day if you don't know Jermaine, he has a basketball that he hangs around with. In one match, he was dressed up as a basketball and nobody knew it. Just that mindset of thinking outside the box with Jermaine. He's really intelligent. He's up there.
Oh yeah, Jermaine's gonna have a long career ahead of him. He's gonna get up there too. I can see a lot of good things for him.
One thing that people have got to do is there's somebody out there right now that I hope they're being scouted because they deserve to get out of this low. I don't want to call it low, but they deserve to get into professionalism, and that is Bloodsaw.
Oh yeah. Well, I wouldn't say on a low. He's got a title now.
No, but I mean, like, get out of the school and get into a professional WCW, WWF, something like that, because he has that skill set.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've faced Bloodsaw a few times. He's good. He's definitely good.
I mean, he gets the crowd involved. He's not like, okay, I'm just going to go wrestle, and he gets the crowd involved. He gets everybody involved, gets everybody routed up.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, he does. He definitely does that. He's definitely a crowd pleaser.
Would there be a Lou and Bloodsaw match coming up?
I don't know. If they book it, I'll do it. I've faced them before, and I'll face them again.
No holds barred. No disqualification.
Let's go. Let's do it. Remember, I came from XPW.
That's what I'm saying.
No DQ, I mean, hardcore, none of that stuff scares me.
All right, let me ask a question. You're saying nothing scares you. Would you, what, I got an idea that would Terry Funk style scare you?
No. I mean, it would be brutal. I know it would hurt. I know that pain would, but I'd be good with it. Like, I've actually got to share a locker room with Terry Funk before. He's such an awesome dude. Such a great guy to pick his brain.
See, I never met Terry. I met a few out there, and some of them are just cool. But my main two I really want to meet is Terry Funk and Mick Foley.
Yeah. Mick Foley's a super nice guy, too.
I actually ran into Mick one time at Lake Compounds, which is a theme park in Connecticut. And he was up there. I was playing a game. He walked up behind me with his daughter, and he's like talking, and I'm like, yep, that's him. But that's the only run-in I had with him, and I'm like, but he's a big dude.
Then you'd realize, like, when you see him on TV, he's a little bit smaller than some of the guys, but he was working wrestling with Kane and Undertaker and guys that are like 7 feet. But Mick is, he's up there too.
I heard stories, and a lot of these people are bringing up, what's your best wrestler? What's the best wrestler of all time? And I would have to say my favorite still is Andre.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done so much for wrestling, and he made Hogan who Hogan was.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a subjective question, though. Like,
yeah,
who's your favorite? Like, I mean, it depends on who you are and who you like. People will say Alexa Bliss, and some people will say Terry Funk. And you get those different, especially different eras of people when they lived in the world.
Well, I want to put you on the spot, Lou.
Okay.
Who is on your Mount Rushmore, Lou? Who is there?
Mount Rushmore. That gets a little harder. Okay. So my Mount Rushmore.
These are your guys.
And I'm going to go with people that really, like, pushed the envelope and broke some barriers. So I'm going to go with Dynamite Kid. I feel like he needs to be on there because he really kind of brought high flying in that style in. Taker. Because, I mean, he did that for so long. And it was so believable. And he reinvented himself. And just what he did with that character was just phenomenal.
But even before he was the Undertaker, he was the Skyscrapers, and he did so much with them too.
Yeah, and he just had that natural ability to do what he did, and to be able to do that for so long, for as long as he did. Gonna have to have The Rock in there just because of how big and how he was able to move the fans. To get a reaction like him is something. I mean, he's in Mount Rushmore 4, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh my God.
Make it a good one.
I'm going to have to go with Shawn Michaels probably because Shawn did a lot of great stuff too. That dude, he could work his ass off. He was a workhorse.
And he was one that could play the heel, the bad guy, and he could also do a baby face too and make both of them believable.
Yeah.
So, Lou, what was your first job?
My first job was telemarketing. And I think that actually probably played a part in what I do with character development up now, because I used to play with that role because I was on the phone, so who cared? And I mean, I would do different accents. I would do different, just all kind. I would play with it a lot working that job.
What is your favorite season?
Season? Ooh, probably winter. I like the cold. I don't mind the cold. I like it. And I think the snow is beautiful when it's on the ground.
Your favorite food?
I'm Hispanic, so Hispanic food, of course, is my go-to. Probably one of my favorite things, though, that I had ever had was flautas in Mexico.
Who is your hero?
My dad.
What's your favorite dessert?
Oh, ice cream. Ice cream's my go-to. I have a weakness for ice cream.
What time do you wake up?
Oh, it depends. Right now, I kind of watch my granddaughter for my daughter while she goes to work. So I'm usually, and I got to get my son up for school. So I'm usually up by six.
What movie do you quote the most?
There's so many. I don't think I have one particular one. I think it depends on what the conversation is and what we're, that a movie will pop up in my head and I'll say some random stuff out of it.
Are you a night in or a night out?
I'm a night in guy. I'm a homebody.
Are you a thinker or are you a doer?
Both. I think you have to kind of have both of that mindset in there.
Do you learn by doing or do you learn by watching?
Doing. I'm definitely a learn by doing better.
When you go swimming, do you dive in or do you tiptoe in?
I dive. I was in the Navy for 13 years, so I just dive in.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Ooh, video games. Video games are my, yeah.
What motivates you?
People telling me I can't do it.
What's your deepest fear besides losing the belt?
Being alone.
How do you want to be remembered?
I just want to be remembered. Hopefully in a good way, whether it's with the movies I'm in or through wrestling. I hope and like to be remembered.
On your gravestone, what is something you would want written for people to be like, oh, that was definitely Lou?
Anything pagan. I'm a North pagan, so.
What do you care the most about?
My family. My family is my number one.
Now, you said you're Hispanic. If there's one thing I got to bring in, I love Hispanic food. I work with a lot of Spanish, Latino, stuff like that. And you guys make the best dessert ever called dulce de leche. It's so damn good. How can you like ice cream more than that?
Because it's ice cream. Ice cream's like your go-to. It's the easy, like you just go and get a pint.
So, okay. I know you're working on two indie films. One is action. One is horror. I'm going to give you time to plug those two in and talk about those and what they mean to you.
Yeah. So one I've been working on probably from last year to this one is called Article 92. It's done by Hawk Studios, which Joe McGee is the director for that. And I've been on board as one of these stunt coordinators. So all the fight scenes and stuff like that, me and another guy, Sean Burke, coordinate the fight scenes, teach the actors how to do it, teach them how to sell it, how to get punched safely, or however we can do it safe and but yet still look good on camera. And then the second one that we're just starting is called Wolf Boy, and I'm doing some of the stunt stuff on that, and I'm also playing one of the main monsters.
Awesome. And I know coming up here we're going to Bristol, Connecticut to do a show there.
Yeah.
So do who your opponent is yet?
I do. Casey Lycan, who...
Okay, I'm going to give you time to call him out. This is going to be your time to say what you want to say.
Oh,
okay. See how good you are on the mic. Come on, Lou.
Let's go. So Casey's been dipping his nose into places he does not belong. I know he's been trying to back his little friend Daniel Riley up, but we all saw what I did to Daniel Riley last show. I dropped him on his head with a psycho driver. So, and you think Casey isn't going to get the same fate? I'm going to toss Casey around that ring like a rag doll, and then I'm going to make him wish he chose the right places and the right times to stick his nose, because in my business, it definitely wasn't. And he thinks he's going to take the title from me? No, that's my baby. That's my baby. She's always with me. This is my girlfriend right here. She comes with me on set. She comes with me everywhere I go. She gets the front seat. Nobody gets the front seat. Nope. That's for my baby.
So, Lou, for people that want to see you, like I said, you're going to be coming up to Bristol in a couple of weeks. But how do people get a hold of you? Are you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, website? How do they get a hold of you?
I am on most social media. I'm the Lou Jacobs. You can find me there on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me as either Lou Jacobs or the Lou Jacobs.
And again, this is OWF, which is Outcast Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, and I'm going to be the face of that company for a while, so get used to seeing this face.
And everybody, if you do go to a show, one thing I do want to say before I end this podcast, when you go to a show, you get to meet and greet the wrestlers. They're there, and they're in person. And if you want autographs, if you want to shake their hand, they're right there.
Oh, yeah. And we have T-shirts. We have merchandise that you can wear. Here soon, I'll be having Wolf Boy merchandise for the movie, and I'll have that with me soon. I got to get my 8x10s remade again, but I have 8x10s of both in wrestling and for a Lifetime movie that I did too.
Thank you so much, Lou, for your time.
I'm always looking for likes, shares, and reviews. Please give it a share and a review. 5 stars really does help. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, refill both of our coffees. See you next week where we can listen once again. Please follow us on Saturday Java with Jason on Facebook and Instagram. And please follow me on Facebook at Jason Coffee Man.